Welcome to Grace Baptist Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Thank you for joining us on Sunday evening, June the 3rd, 2012.
Jesus, Lamb of God. was said.
Amen.
You may be seated.
All right, bless the men to come at this time. We thank the Lord for the opportunity to give. So, Father, we thank you that you let us come together again and to fellowship and to worship you, Father, above everything else. I pray, Father, that we'll be able to push aside all the things that would distract us and that we would think on you, Father, and that you would be our focus. Thank you for your love and your care in our life. In Jesus' name, amen.
You guys, thanks for your patience with me as I do this. I do have the hairstyle of Fred, but not the giftedness. And leading worship, for any time you take the platform, there's ample opportunity to be humbled and to crucify pride. So let's do this next song together. Would you stand with me? The chorus is, Lord, I'm amazed by you. Lord, I'm amazed. Lord, We're awed by you. God, when we fix our eyes on the cross, when we see that incredible demonstration of your love, of your holiness, of your pursuit of us, not that we are worthy, but you are. The cross doesn't make much of us. It frees us up to enjoy making much of you. But God, as we think about our great salvation, as we think about the gospel, we are amazed. We get a right perspective on ourselves and on our sin. We get a right perspective of your holiness, of your love. And God, it leaves us stunned. And at the same time, we can't remain silent. We must praise. We must express our heart back to you. So again, thank you for this opportunity that we can come together as the body of Christ, the blood-bought body of Christ, and express praise back to you, sit under the teaching of your word, and be equipped to worship you throughout the week. So God, we invite you in. We pray that you'd speak. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, guys.
Okay, I thought I would do a couple of things, more bookkeeping kinds of things, and sort of touch some bases and everything. And so, Kelly, why don't you tell them a little bit about, you won't need notes for this. Or your glasses, probably. Why don't you tell them a little bit about some of the ways that you see God using you and Amy as you're being involved here in ministry over the next little while. The next long while.
I don't know if that's a hint or not. Dr. Oler, what I loved about your message this morning, and you were talking about Abraham, and you started to point out different ones of us that, hey, you were here, and you were here, and God has brought us together. And I was thinking about the fact that about 3 years ago, God had me exit a particular situation that I thought, this is where God has me, this is what I'm going to be doing the rest of my life. And there was a major interruption right before Amy and I got married. And the Lord brought me here, and I was probably rude to some of you all. I was hurt by what had happened to me and just going, Lord, I don't know this church. I don't know these people. And you guys have loved on me, probably because of Amy, but you guys have loved on me and welcomed me in.
Yes.
And, I really do. I feel like God has brought me here. I was telling somebody the other day, I've been asked to oversee the area of reaching out to young couples. Amy and I have a burden for just folks particularly starting out in marriage and now starting out with children and those adventures, just to be able to come alongside and to give people an understanding of what normal is. Because we think normal marriage is what we look like on Sunday mornings. Right? Right? And that's what's normal. I mean, you're always like this, like when you're at home. And so we want to help folks get a feel for here's reality and here's some things that you're going to be working through and to just come alongside folks for that. Also the men's ministry, I'm going to start thinking through some things and reading through some things right now that really are getting me excited about just what God has called me to. And then we think about leadership training. Mike Swanson and I are going to be getting together and talking about how we can best serve and minister to our Sunday school teachers and in that arena. And I've got some things as far as the deacons and the deacon board that I want to kind of pour into and encourage them. And us just, I love what God's doing here. I believe that God is up to some really neat things. Mm-hmm. And somebody said the other day, so how do you feel about being here? I was like, I feel like I've come home. I told Amy, I said, don't tell people I'm going to work. You can tell people I'm going to the office, but work sounds negative. And sometimes, I don't know about you, and I feel like I was made for this. And so I'm so excited to be here.
Okay, I think that is fantastic. And, so when you see Kelly around, grab him and ask him about different kinds of things that the Lord is doing in his life and everything. And I know that he would be excited to tell you those things. Okay, well, that's part of what I wanted to do, but I've got more. Rebecca, come on down. Oh, yeah. Come on. It's wrong to give me a microphone, isn't it? After I finish with you, then I'm gonna
finish with you.
Oh, you're gonna finish with me. Okay, here's your microphone. And I just really felt like we didn't you know, we didn't really focus enough on what's going to happen Wednesday night and the stuff you've got going tomorrow and everything. Rebecca has just taken over our children's ministry, and so there's a lot of stuff cooking, and so I wanted you to kind of share a little bit about that. See, it wasn't hard at all. What is tomorrow? You're going to send him to camp.
Well, I didn't know if that's what he was talking about or not. Actually, Margie Allison is going to go with our 10 junior campers to Woodlands Camp, and she'll come back and tell me all about it because I don't really know that much about it. And Lauren is going, and I think I don't see anybody else here tonight. They're probably packing. So they'll leave at noon tomorrow, and they'll go for the week. They come back Friday, and it'll just be exciting to see what goes on there. So we're praying for you, and we're thankful for you. Very, very thankful. Then the rest of the week, we're decorating for VBS, and you guys were so good about coming out and getting that stuff to cut out. I had to actually turn people away and say, I have no more. So thank you for that.
Oh,
we have plenty for you
so
to do, though.
Forward to that. Never mind.
We do have plenty more to do. It just does involve you coming here and helping out, and we'll be here in the afternoons and evenings all week. So we'd like to get it done by Friday, because on Sunday night, a week from tonight, we'd like to invite all of you to walk through Promise Island, and there will be some specific things in each of the areas where the kids will be for you to pray for, and there will be some little snacks to entice you to come back there. So we're excited about that, so we do want to be ready for that by the end of the week.
I'm good with snacks.
Yeah, I know.
So what kind of snacks are you having?
Well, they will be island treats.
Ooh.
Our volunteers and leaders have signed up to bring lots of different things, so...
I told someone today, and I've forgotten who it was, they were making some comments, and I said, now, I don't know that I'm not going to pass this word on to someone. I said, but if you're wondering if I can be bought, chocolate chip cookies work marvelously. And
well, we'll see what we can do.
All right. Okie doke. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Rebecca. Okay. Ann. Okay, Diana, come here. This is so wonderful. Now, you know you want to do this. Come on, come on. You're acting, oh, this is hard. This is not hard. Okay, so tell them what you're doing, because a lot of folks, you've been gone for 4 years to college, and it just kind of catch us up where what you have been doing and where you see God taking you, you know.
Okay. Well, I actually just talked to the mission committee about this. Sorry. I'm trying to think how I can sum it up. I had a Dominican dinner actually this past Tuesday, in which I spent about 30 minutes explaining everything. So I don't think, unless you want me to talk for 30 minutes.
No.
I'm just kidding.
Short and sweet.
Will do. This past 4 years, I've been studying nursing at Cedarville University. And this past year, many of you know, I went this past summer to the Dominican Republic. And I did an internship with Gary and Allie Hale. And through that time, I really just felt I had been interested in missions before, but kind of had gotten away from it and was focusing more just on nursing. But through that time, God just really got a hold of my heart, and I knew that He was calling me to full-time missions. And I knew that I loved the Dominican, but I wasn't sure if that's where He wanted me to go, because they didn't have a medical aspect to their ministry at that point in time. And I wanted to go somewhere where I could be useful. Where I could use the training that I had gotten in missions. But through a series of events, I could go into tons of stories just where it was just so clear the hand of God in orchestrating things. He just really continued to draw my heart to that ministry, give me opportunities to grow more in the language and the culture. And I'm now fluent in Spanish, and just give me opportunities. There was a medical missions trip I went on for spring break, and found out about it, signed up for it, got accepted for it, found out it was 15 minutes away from where Gary and Allie's ministry was. So I got to go down there and use nursing as a ministry for that week. It was just cool to see how God just really brought me to a point where I was at peace knowing that that is exactly where He had me. And so I prayed, God, you know, if you just confirm it for me, I want to have... something that I can be doing there. 2 weeks later, Doug Hodges and a Dominican pastor came to Cedarville, and I saw them, and they were telling me, you know, we've just been praying for a while now that God would just bring someone to start a medical, that who's interested in medical things, to join our team so that we could start a medical branch of the ministry. So it's just a huge answer to prayer for me and for them as well. And I'm actually doing an internship in Philadelphia, which I got accepted for that before I even knew that my parents were getting moved to Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. So we're about an hour away from that, from Philadelphia. And it'll be, it's kind of it's using nursing as like public health nursing to prevent disease, or doing health screenings to tie them into the local church. So I'll be living in a poor Hispanic community for 3 weeks and just using medicine to tie them into the local church. And I really hope to be able to use that as a blueprint in the Dominican. I did join Daystar Baptist Missions, and they're really just excited about me coming down there. So at this point, I'm just raising support because I want to go full-time. And so it's been so cool to see how God worked out every step along the way. I'm excited to see how he'll work it out for me to get down there.
So you're praying for prayer partners and also some financial help along the way to be able to do this. Mm-hmm. And everything. Do you have any numbers in general? How much support do you have in general, you think?
How much do I have right now?
Yeah.
Well, I was telling them, I'm going to candidate school this next week with Daystar, in which they're going to kind of lay out budget and support raising. So I've been telling people about it, but I haven't officially sent out my official letters and stuff like that, talking with churches. I've been talking to pastors of different churches, but there's no set number at this point of how much I have. I'm going to need about $2,000 a month, but okay. I'm not sure how much.
Well, that's neat to pray about, and thank you for being so willing to share and everything. I know that she's going to be going back up there, and we'll be coming back and forth some, and so I thought this would be a good time for a good many of us to kind of catch up with her and know a little bit about what's going on and everything. Tremendous, tremendous opportunities. And medicine can be such a door opener in places. But I think probably the big issue is people that go and live and are involved in the culture, and they know people and they pray with them and they're there for them. And it's that's just really, I think, what where the Lord takes us and where he calls us in those sorts of things. So those are neat things to think about and everything. And it is wonderful to have someone like Diana, who has virtually grown up in this church, has spent her entire life at Grace, to be able to have someone like that we're able to help equip and to service our sending church to go out and be involved in ministry. So that's really kind of neat. And I was thinking, I think that I heard that the Dicks are coming in probably pretty quick to be here for the summer for a short furlough and everything. As I was thinking about people that have grown up in the church, of course, Joel is really tall, and so Joel and Debbie and their kids will be here, so that will be kind of neat to see them. So I want to kind of go back to some of the things we talked about this morning. Do I have a special? Okay. Well, Jason, you can sing. Let me see. Occasionally I'm distracted and my mind goes elsewhere. Frequently it happens. You're all right. Let's begin with prayer. So, Father, we thank you for your love and your care to us and the way you work in our lives and the way you lead us. And so, Father, I pray that tonight, as we think a little bit about your leading, that you will give us some of your direction, Father. We'll know exactly what it is that you want us to do and that we'll be willing to do it. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so this morning we spent a considerable time following behind Abraham and the decisions that Abraham made. And Abraham had pretty clear leading from the Lord that God wanted him in the land, actually called him out of Ur of the Chaldees. He made the 800-mile trip all the way around to Canaan and was there. It really, if I were trying to rank what was difficult and not difficult about that trip, I would think leaving Ur of the Chaldees, because that was everything we know about Ur of the Chaldees was this was the high point of the culture in that time of the world. And so leaving Ur of the Chaldees, in my estimation, would have been the hard thing to have done, to go out to the, you know, to the sticks, you know, of Canaan at that point in time. That would have been hard, I think. But as it turned out, that wasn't hard for Abraham at all. God gave him that opportunity and called him and said, you know, this is what you need to do. And he picked up and he left. And he went to Canaan immediately and built the altars, and everything seems to be going pretty well, except that there were some circumstances that came into his life. And when those circumstances came into his life, those were the things that really threw him for the loop, so to speak. Because when they had this, famine in the land and the severity of the famine, as Abraham looked around, he really didn't necessarily know how God was going to put and how God was going to... There's a passage over in the Psalms that talks about, can the Lord open a table in the wilderness? He didn't really see how God was going to open any kind of a table anywhere. And he just had a rumor, a bare rumor, and the bare rumor was that things were better down in Egypt. So he picks up his whole crowd and goes to Egypt. And, of course, that's when he tells this this fib regarding Sarah, and that's when that whole situation begins to transpire. But I guess what really captures my attention, he probably, and the use of that word sojourn there early in the text, that word just really kind of gives me the impression that he knew where he was supposed to be, and in his mind, he didn't see a conflict with leaving the land temporarily and going to Egypt. He didn't sense that that was going to be a large problem whatsoever. And yet, when you look at the scripture, it became a pretty serious kind of issue that he was facing. And I think it really kind of goes in to a whole question that we talk about many, many times and talk a little bit more about tonight, and that's the whole question of the will of God. How do I know what I'm going to do? And how do I know I'm doing what God wants me to do? And there's, of course, when I think about the will of God, I think in terms of a couple of very broad areas as you look at these things. When I look at the will of God, I look at His known will, and I look at His unknown will. Okay? And so when I look at His known will, what is the known will of God? Well, the known will of God is everything He's told me to do. So what has He told me to do? Well, He's told me to love my wife. He's told me that the Scripture says I'm to put away falsehood, I'm to put away all of these things, I'm supposed to work. There's different kinds of things. I can go right through the epistles and I can find these New Testament imperatives that say, do this and this and this and this and this and this. Do I have to pray about any of those things? Nope, don't have to pray about any of them all. Because that's the known will of God. You do those things, you're okay. Whatever God has said and given us in His Word, if I read His Word, if I identify a principle, a concept, an idea, I see those things, then that's stuff I can do. That's stuff that I don't have to think about. That's stuff that I don't have to pray about. Now that seems kind of a strange thing to say. You don't even have to pray about it. Well, God said it. And as the fellow said, if God said it, then that really ought to settle it for us. And that ought to be where our focus is in terms of how we look at things and how we see these things and all. So that's the known will of God. And then there is a whole category of area that as I look at life that looms in my mind a much larger area than what it probably is. If I were drawing a picture of the will of God, I would look at this circle and I would shade probably 75, 85, 90% of the box, and I would say that's the known will of God. But then there is a portion of the box that is what we call the unknown part of the will of God. And that really, when you look at it, is small potatoes. It's minor in comparison to the stuff that I know. I always remember years and years ago as a boy listening to very famous North Carolina preacher by the name of Vance Havner. And Vance Havner was always one of my favorite speakers. And as a boy growing up, and my dad enjoyed going to his meetings. And I remember that he was preaching through the book of 1 John. Now, Vance Havner was a guy that spent a whole lot of time just really making the Word of God live and making it very practical. Vance Havner wasn't somebody that went into extended and involved Bible interpretation and exegesis and all of those kinds of crazy things, hermeneutics and whatever else. He didn't go into all of those details, but he understood how to practically apply God's Word to a person's heart. Very, very helpful in those things. And he was talking about the book of 1 John. And the last verse in 1 John says, "Little children, keep yourselves from idols." And then Vance Havner, I remember him, and he was a slight man. He was not tall at all, and he was very thin, and he was he just always seemed older to me. But of course, at that time, everybody seemed older to me. Sort of like things are now, everybody seems younger to me. But I remember him saying, and this was really kind of intriguing to me. He says, "If you do everything else in 1 John," he said, "you won't have to worry about little children keeping yourselves from idols." And, you know, of course, that tells us that's a pretty good commentary in the book of 1 John. 1 John, walking in the light, confessing our sins, this is the will of God, and all of those different kinds of things, principles, all sorts of principles and everything. He says, you do what else is written in 1 John, you won't have to worry about whether or not you get caught up in those sorts of things, in idols and that kind of thing. But that was a very, very practical kind of thing. So I've got the known will of God, and I've got the unknown part of the will of God. Now, because I do certain things, there are certain kinds of things that happen in the known will of God, it really begins to direct my life when I begin to make decisions. You know, one of the decisions that I make is I make a decision to come to church. And the Scripture tells us and encourages us to be to not forsake the assembling together of believers over in Hebrews. And so, yeah, I go to church. As I look at those principles and I do those things, then certain decisions are made for me because I'm in a particular direction, I'm in a particular focus and a particular path in my life. And so consequently, there's a lot of things I don't have to worry about because I've chosen to go on this particular road. I've chosen to do this sort of thing. So if I'm honoring God and I'm obeying what I read in the Scriptures and I'm making spiritual Bible decisions about various sorts of things, if I'm following those decisions, then there's a lot of decisions and there's a lot of issues that I'm simply never going to be confronted with those things because I've already chosen a certain path and all. So I don't know if that's real meaningful to you. The thing that and this is this probably isn't the best illustration, but I have been known to not necessarily make the best illustrations. But I remember when we got married and we went on our honeymoon, and that was a grand and glorious time. I've often wanted to go back for a second honeymoon, but that's primarily because we went trout fishing on our honeymoon, and so. Consequently, that was really that was a high spiritual point for me. I'm just telling you. And because there were certain things that directed us and directed our focus, I was in seminary at the time, and Mary had a year of nursing school left at IU. And so consequently, you've heard the phrase poor as church mice, a church mouse, you know, that kind of thing. You know, that means you're pretty poor. That kind of thing. Well, we didn't have a whole lot. We went on our whole honeymoon for, I think, about $125. I mean, that's bought the gas, ate the meals for a week. I mean, the whole business, $125. Some of you are astounded. It is more a reflection of 19 and 20 cents a gallon gas and what the culture was at that time than it was, I mean, it was, you know, it was just a different kind of thing. Of course, she didn't really have credit cards at that time. We hadn't established any credit, so we didn't know any better except to pay cash for stuff. And it was a wonderful kind of situation. Well, you know, because we made that decision, there were certain things that we weren't able to do. There were places we couldn't go. There was entertainment that we would not have been able to have sought or we could have ever been a part of. And of course, up there in the North Woods of Wisconsin, there really wasn't much to get in trouble with either, by the way, I might add. But you see, a decision like that informed all of the other decisions. And when you make a decision to follow Jesus Christ and to obey His word and to obey Him, then all these other decisions are affected by that. Well, I wanted to say this about the will of God. I went to the concordance and I found that the phrase, the will of God, occurs 23 times in the New Testament. It's really not a phrase that you find much of in the Old Testament at all. You find phrases, obeying the Lord, stuff like that, but you don't really find that particular phrase, the will of God, 23 times in the New Testament. And, I printed off these statements. For example, in Mark chapter 3, it says, 3:35, it says, "And whosoever shall do the will of God, the same as my brother, my sister, my mother." Acts 13:36 says, "For David, after he served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep and was laid with his fathers and saw corruption." And then in Romans 1:10, a number of references reflect this. "Making request, if by any means now, at length, I might have a prosperous journey," it's Paul coming to see the Romans, "by the will of God to come unto you." And then later in chapter 8 of Romans, it says, talking about the Lord, it says, "He searches the hearts, knowing what is the mind of the Spirit, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God." How does God pray for us? Well, He prays for us according to His will. Well, what is His will? Well, His will is the known will of God is the principles of Scripture. So how does God pray? God prays according to principles I see in the Scripture. I want to know how God looks at these things. I can see those things very, very vividly. And then Romans 12:2, and of course, this is, you know, "I beseech you therefore, brethren," verse 1, etc., "to present your bodies a living sacrifice." But then verse 2, "And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you should prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God." So you see that reference. And then you have a whole series of references in the Pauline epistles. First chapter of 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, and others, where they say, Paul called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God. You know, you see all of these interesting kind of references. And then you have a kind of an interesting reference over in 1 Thessalonians. It says, "For this is the will of God." What's the will of God? Well, it's your sanctification, your holiness, that you should abstain from fornication. And later in Thessalonians and also in Ephesians, it says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." And then there's really a terrific reference at the end of in 1 John, where it talks about, and this was, by the way, D.L. Moody's life verse, "And the world passes away, and the lust thereof, but he that does the will of God abides forever." Now, as I look at all of those references and I see all of those things, there's some things that begin to kind of drive me in terms of where I'm going and what I'm doing and what I'm thinking about. And the first thing that drives me is the importance of this book. Okay? The importance of this book. In other words, when Paul says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth," over in Timothy, he was talking about the time I put in the word of God. And you see, we come to this book with all different kinds of opportunities. Somebody like Dr. Price, he looks at these things and he can look at it through a linguist's eye and he can see great kinds of implications and shades of meanings and words and things like that. The Spirit helps him be able to see and understand those things. You know, somebody like Andy, Andy wasn't trained as a Hebrew scholar. And so when Andy reads the word, he uses an English translation, and you may compare other translations and see phrases, but he sees those things, and the Spirit of God that helps Dr. Price helps Andy understand what it is God needs for Andy to know. And Margie's going to go up there and spend this time with the camp, and one of the great things that always happens at camp is in the morning they'll have some God and me time. You'll go out and you'll sit on a rock somewhere, watch for snakes and poison ivy, by the way. It'll be very quiet, and in theory, it'll be quiet. And you'll take your Bible, and you'll look, and you'll read, and you'll think about those things. And the same Spirit that helps Dr. Price and helps Andy is going to help Margie as she looks at God's Word and sees various things from the Bible. And God's going to show us different kinds of things, but it's going to all be within the context of what the Bible means and everything. We're going to be able to see these things together, and we're going to see these things to understand what it is God's trying to tell us about these things. And it's tailored to the decisions and the things that you face. And so there are times that there's things that are going to be on your mind, and that's why I think it's really good to have a plan. I have for a number of years been reading through the Bible, and I think it's a wonderful plan. And it's got great variety. I think it's a plan that is extremely helpful. I see different things every time I go through the Bible and I look at things. There's some things that strike me one time, and then the next time something else may strike me, and I'm looking at exactly the same passage. But it all goes to the needs that are arising in my heart and in my life. And so if there's some areas where I've got some questions and there's things I don't understand, I'm not seeing this and I'm not seeing that, frequently the Scripture tells us the Bible is a lamp unto our feet. That's what he says over in the 119th Psalm. The Bible's a lamp to our feet. Well, what is a lamp? Well, if you've ever been out at night and you've tried to go down a trail of one kind or another, that brings me back to that wonderful time we had trout fishing in northern Wisconsin. The facilities in this deer shack were not pristine. There was a path and a little house at the end of the path. And, at night, if you wanted to go out there, it was rugged. It was rugged. And so, you pretty much waited till you could see what was happening out there and everything. They didn't tell us, and this was just thrown in for good measure in this. There was a farmer that had cows that were wandering around in there. You know, I don't know what they do at night, but there was always a lead cow with a bell. And I think they must have put bells on every one of those cows, because those things made more racket than you could ever begin to imagine. I'm not sure what this is illustrating, by the way, and all. But I'm amazed. There were times when I felt the need to go down that path, and I got a light, okay? And you know what that's like, because, you know, you're walking down a path and you don't know necessarily what is there. And it's in northern Wisconsin, and so, you know, there was some grass snakes and, you know, stuff like that. But, you know, you really didn't see a whole lot of other sorts of things. And that helped you move down the path, by the way, because if something made a little racket, then you could move a lot quicker. Not that the facility was anything that you wanted to get to, I might add, but that light, that made all the difference in the world. This is our light. And in many respects, the world in which we live is extremely treacherous. And so consequently, I need the light, the daily light of God's Word. And you know, that's illustrated magnificently in the Old Testament, the manna. How often did you get the manna? You gathered it every day. And that's why Jesus, when he taught his disciples to pray, he said, "Give us this day our daily bread." This is my morning manna. This is my daily bread right here. As I look and I listen to God's Word and the direction and focus that he gives me. So I'm thinking about the will of God, and I'm thinking about the choice that that Abraham made. It's hard to beat up on Abraham because all of us have done exactly what Abraham has done. Somewhere in the middle of everything, we faced hard circumstances, and instead of saying, Lord, what are you trying to teach me through these things, we've gone off and we've gone off half-cocked about the thing and just didn't know which way we were going to go. I think that, you know, early on, some of those great experiences we had, we first came to the city, were some of the more precious things. We didn't make a lot of money when we came here, and I had a job at Temple teaching and so forth. They didn't pay us a lot, I can remember there were times when we didn't amass a lot of debt per se, but there were times when we had needs, and you just looked at those needs and you just didn't say, well, how is the Lord going to deal with that? And I remember talking to the Lord about those things, and I'm thinking about, well, what can I do? What can I do to scrounge? What can this and that and things like that? And I remember one of the things that happened was a lot of people became somewhat embittered about their experience and got pretty uptight about stuff. And I had some people that I knew that they just said, well, I'm not going to church today. They were just disgusted about some of those things. Well, it was the right thing to do, to go to church, and the right thing to worship and to fellowship with God's people. And so, not knowing any better, I would go on. I remember one Sunday, I went off, and there were some needs that we had, and I didn't know how God was going to meet those needs. And I didn't really, you know, I knew that I could get on the horn, and I could call my folks or Mary's folks, and I think they would help me, or I could talk to some of my friends, and I could probably, you know, scrounge some money along the way. Didn't need a lot of money, just needed a little. Well, I remember going to that service and listening and thinking, wow, Lord, I don't know how you're going to do this. But I was not in the best of moods. I was not in the best of mindsets about things like that. Sometimes you get your nose bent out of shape. You ever heard that expression? Bent out of shape. You're just kind of just ticked about this and that. I remember going out to the car, and I had this vintage 1960 Red Falcon station wagon that looked like it had been in an accident and somebody had towed it to the parking lot. And I'm sure that every time I got in and I turned the key and I could drive that thing off, there were people that thought I was experiencing a miracle of some kind. But I paid $100 for it, and so it was a good, you know, effective vehicle. And I remember, as I came, I got into that car, I sat down, and frequently what would happen is people would bring pizza coupons, and they'd put them all over the parking lot. And they'd open up a windshield wiper and slap a pizza coupon. And there was some paper underneath my windshield wiper. And I remember, I knew I couldn't drive with that thing there, and I said, well, you know, that's the craziest thing, more pizza coupons or something. And I opened the door, reached up, it turns out it was an envelope. And there was a $20 bill, and there was a note inside, and the note didn't say a whole lot. It just said, thought you could use some help. And that was it. Didn't sign it, didn't tell me who it was, didn't anything like that, but a $20 bill. Well, I tell you, you'd have thought that I got another $125 to go on a honeymoon. I mean, man, you'd have thought I got a lot of money in that situation. Didn't get much money, but I tell you what I did get. I had the realization that God was going to meet our needs, and He was going to do it on a step-by-step basis, and I needed just to make my focus doing what He wanted me to do, because He was going to solve these things in ways that I didn't begin to understand. You know what? I suspect that we have a lot of folks here that have pastored, and there's others of you here that have been missionaries. You've got the same kinds of stories about you thought that God lost your address. And just when you thought God had lost your address, God does something to say, nope, know exactly where you are. Here's what you need. Now, it didn't give me a lot. Didn't have extra money, per se. but I had what I needed at that time. And that's how God tends to work and to function. He gives us that daily bread, that manna, just enough for today. Tomorrow's a different story. I can trust Him today, and because I've trusted Him in the past doesn't mean that I've got a guarantee to the future. So in the future, I've got to trust Him again. So every single day, it's a day when I walk by faith and I respond to Him. The will of God, known will of God, and the unknown will of God. You know, all of these crazy questions that I can remember having, who am I going to marry? What am I going to do? You know, those are biggies when we look at it and think about it. But you know, when you follow the Lord and you're moving down this path, it seems like the Lord puts people in your path, and all of a sudden, aha, it makes sense, and you see what God wants to do. Well, the will of God. I won't soon forget Abraham and his wonderful experience, because Abraham's success and Abraham's failure, my life mirrors that. There's times when I'm right up on top and everything's just cooking with gas, you know. And then there's other times when things, you know, the wheels are off that wagon along the way. Isn't it exciting that we serve a God that works with us and takes us down the road step by step? Now, that's the song that Kelly led us tonight. Step by step, He'll lead us. And that's the kind of leading that you and I have from the Lord. That's neat. Well, so we pray for Fred and... I think the Bormas and others are coming back from Michigan and all that wonderful celebration. I have a hunch that Tim Borma's honeymoon is going to cost a little more than $125. I understand they're going to Italy or someplace like that, and so that's going to be a little more expensive. And I'm sure you'll have stories, but my goodness, think of the wonderful stories that, I mean, can't you just envision that trout stream and that path? Some of you just have no imagination. I'm just telling you, no imagination. Well, thank you for coming. And we look to the Lord. That's the place we need to be looking. So, Father, I thank you for what you're doing, for your love, your care to us, and for how you watch us and direct us. Father, we want to follow you and obey you. We want to follow you close at hand, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for worshiping with us today. Grace Baptist Church exists to glorify God by knowing Him through His Word, loving Him through worship and obedience, and serving Him by caring for others. For more information about our ministries, please go to www.aboutgracebaptist.org. See you next time.